Hello, baby.
The Cocktail Nation.
Anatomy of a Lounge Lothario.
Hey, baby.
I got a lot of money.
Howard, please. This is beneath
you. No, this is exactly me.
Casanova. You are evil, Demeter.
What you call me? It's not true.
Is it joke, my dove?
Why do you men so treasure this joking so?
Do you love me?
What can I say when you ask? You shouldn't ask, you know. I'll tell you when I feel like it.
Would you like me to give you something to make you sleep?
Now, there's a good idea.
All right, then. Come with me.
Welcome to another look at the Bon Vivants, playboys, and those who lived a jet-setter lifestyle, those tango pirates, and just what makes them the men who they are. There is happiness which is perfect and real as long as it lasts. It is transient, but its end does not negate its past existence and prevent he who has experienced it from remembering it. Giacomo Casanova. Say the name Casanova, and generally people will associate it with the idea of a playboy, a libertine, a serial lover and seducer. In fact, his name has even been turned into a phrase, to be a Casanova, to imply a man who is very good at seducing women. And while it cannot be denied that certainly Casanova was good at that, he had a large number of affairs. There is so much more to this man than just his escapades as a lover. He was a writer, an intellectual, a traveller, an adventurer, a subversive spirit, and a provocateur. His autobiography, called simply The Story of My Life, is written in French. It's considered a fine work of literature, and it's not just a recollection of his love adventures, which he described to create an honest portrayal of the human condition, but also an authentic portrayal of European customs and society in the 18th century. I recently was in Venice and I was inspired to read this book, and I've got to tell you, it reads very, very well. It's quite exciting to read, particularly when you are visiting his hometown of Venice. He was born there in 1725 to two impoverished actors at a time when the city teemed with life and energy, when the pursuit of pleasure and good life was a trait that all Venetians shared. Certainly, if you do get to Venice, make sure you do download the book. It's actually free. You can grab it anywhere. It's outside the copyright limitations these days. And you can visit his childhood neighborhood of San Samuel, where you'll actually find a plaque on the wall of the tiny little town that says Casanova was born there. Now, early on, Casanova demonstrated a quick wit. He graduated in law from the University of Padua at 17. Early on, he discovered the pleasures of women thanks to two young, well-born sisters, as he recalls in his memoir. And he wrote that his lifelong passion for women was established with this particular encounter. He says, "I was born for the sex opposite to mine. I've always loved it and done all that I could to make myself loved by it." Now, he was adopted by a patron, a wealthy Venetian senator, by the name of Malpiero, the owner of Palazzo Malpiero, a palace located on the Grand Canal close to Casanova's first home. And this man taught him about fine food, wine, how to behave in society, and it was in that place, that palace, that Casanova actually began his intense social life. He hung out with the very best circles, he conducted high society affairs, and was acting like a dandy. And he did this very well. However, he was actually thrown out of the house when he was caught seducing the senator's own object of desire, an actress. But fortunes could turn very quickly in a place like Venice, and at the time, at the age of 30, he was sent to prison by the Venetian Inquisition, which accused him of being a card sharp, a con man, a Freemason, an astrologer, a blasphemer. Most likely this came in retaliation for his attentions to one of the Inquisitor's mistresses, and he was imprisoned in the dog's palace for 15 months until he escaped through the roof. And you can actually see the cell that Casanova shared with rats, as well as the Inquisitor's torture rooms during the secret itineraries tour organized by the palace. Now, his escape forced him to leave Venice, beginning an exile of 18 years, but also making the beginnings of his life as a traveller. And he spent a long time in Paris, also travelled to many other European cities, especially when he got himself into trouble, which was pretty regular. While he could always count on his personal charm to influence people, he often had to flee the creditors from his gambling debts. In 1774, when he was 49, he obtained a pardon from the Inquisition and returned to Venice, but he couldn't keep himself out of trouble, and after writing a satire that offended the powerful figures, once again, he had to flee the city, and this would be his final exile from Venice. With the approach of middle age, Casanova's good fortunes with the ladies began to abate, and that was a bad blow for him. He said, "The power to please at first sight, which I had so long possessed, in such measure was beginning to fail me." In addition, he was penniless. He moved from one European city to the next in search of a job or a patron. "Fortune scorns old age," he wrote. And then finally, at 60, he was hired as a librarian to Count Joseph Waldstein, a young nobleman who lived in Bohemia, about 60 miles north of Prague. His life there was lonely, did not speak German, was not able to communicate with the locals. As the well-travelled cosmopolitan man that he was, he felt constrained in such a small place, and he often fought with the staff of the Count. Once he's said to have fought over how to cook pasta, which is rather Italian of him, I suppose. So miserable he felt that it was said that he contemplated suicide. His doctor suggested that he write his memoirs to ward off the melancholy, and it worked. And Casanova would go on to produce his masterwork, The Story of My Life. And it did actually lift his spirits. He says, "I'm writing my life to laugh at myself, and I'm succeeding. What pleasure in remembering one's pleasures. It amuses me because I'm inventing nothing. Worthy or not, my life is my subject, and my subject is my life." When Casanova heard the news that Venice had been conquered by Napoleon in 1797, he decided to plan a trip there, but he fell ill from a kidney infection and died in 1798, and his memoir was not completed. It ends when Casanova was 49. It's thought that he wanted to end it before he turned 50, when he felt that he was no longer enjoying life. "Cultivating whatever gave pleasure to my senses was always the chief business of my life," he wrote, referring not just to the physical pleasure, but to all pleasures of life, and why not? Now, before I headed to Venice, I actually had quite an interest in the life of Casanova, and I've watched many biopics and documentaries about his life, and most of them are pretty good. There's probably one that's a little bit on the corny side, and it's meant to be funny. I suppose it does show a bit of life in that time, a little bit of his life, and creates a bit of a mystique around Casanova. But it wasn't until I actually arrived in Venice that I actually read his book and was thoroughly enthralled by it. It was really quite an amazing read. He really is one of the early Lounge Lotharios, a man who completely enjoyed life. He certainly enjoyed women, and he absolutely loved adventures, and he's a man who really lived life to the absolute nth degree. But like all Lounge Lotharios, it eventually comes to an end as old age starts to catch up with you, and you maybe not quite as desirable as you once were when you were a younger man. And that certainly was the case for Casanova, and sadly it certainly brought him down. I'm glad to see that he was able to write a book and enjoy his adventures as he wrote about them. I think the other thing about Casanova, like many of the great playboys that we're going to be hearing about in this series, it seems that wealth is often a very, very key factor. There's very few poor playboys about. Most of them were born into wealth. Casanova certainly wasn't born into it, but he clearly had the right stock to be adopted by a patron. He was very, very smart. He was actually a pastor, believe it or not, which seems absolutely hilarious. But he was technically a man of the cloth. He was actually studying to become a priest. That said, at that time in history, one of the most important jobs one might have could be royalty, politician, or be with the church. They were all high and mighty positions that one would hold in society at the time. But certainly, getting back to the money scenario, he had money at times, he stole money at times, he was absolutely a con man. He, a little bit like Errol Flynn, he could convince anybody of anything. He had amazing charisma. But sadly, Casanova could never hang on to money for that long. And for him, particularly at that time of society, having wealth was very, very important to be able to keep up one's status. Who knows what he might have achieved if he was actually able to stay in Venice? Maybe nothing. Maybe he simply would have gone around in circles and the world would not have known about Giacomo Casanova, because his fame would not have spread around the globe. But once again, as we look at the anatomy of a lounge Lothario, Casanova ticks all the boxes. Charisma, starting off with wealth, losing that wealth, being a great lover, being a great traveller, being a man of the world, being a bit of a dandy, a well-dressed man about town, and most importantly, an absolute love of life to the nth degree, Giacomo Casanova. Do check out his book when you get a chance, because I can tell you, it is a fabulous, fabulous read. A real adventure of a lifetime, that's for sure. Once again, thanks for joining me for Anatomy of a Lounge Lothario.